Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
That's right. It's time for another week of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, entering my second week doing this with a new microphone. So hopefully the sound's going to be a little bit more consistent, maybe just a little bit clearer for you all. So thank you for bearing with me the first week. This past weekend, Pelicans got another preseason game in. They're still in China, played the Houston Rockets, my now least favorite team in the league overall. They did lose 117 to 123, though there's definitely some good things to come out of that, which we'll touch on today. I also want to talk a little bit about how the Pelicans are going to replace Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, who's the guy that's going to need to step up. This person will be definitely one of the more key contributors to the team. I've also got a reader question for you all regarding Chris Paul. It's never too early to start speculating. That's always some of the most fun things with it. So we'll definitely touch on that towards the end and get you started off with all the Pelicans news you need on Monday. So as I just mentioned, the Pelicans did lose in their preseason China opener, 117 to 123 against Houston. They've got one more game this coming Wednesday in 2 days' time from now where they'll play and hopefully have a bit of a better showing. Right now with the Pelicans experimenting during preseason, they're not using a real rotation. Anthony Davis is on a minutes restriction. It's tough to kind of gather a lot from this team and think of how they're going to play overall. And, you know, there's just not a whole ton to take away, however, as a team. But there are individual performances that we can take away. And I really want to touch on, you know, the Pelicans' big free agent signing, Solomon Hill. Brought in mainly for his defense, known kind of as a stopper, a guy who maybe will be able to shoot some three-pointers. He kind of had a scorching postseason for the Pacers, which is what really elevated him and got him that contract with this team here. You know, 4 years, $48 million with incentives that are most likely going to be unlikely. Could rise to $52 million. You know, that's a big money guy for the Pelicans who weren't really in the race to sign any major free agents. But Saturday night, this is a guy who finally had his first kind of coming out game for the Pelicans. The first two preseason games, the win against the Mavericks, the loss to the Pacers. He wasn't really taking many shots. He was taking about, you know, under three a game, having a bit of a rough go, just trying to find his feel. And the Pelicans really don't plan on using him as an offensive threat. If he can kind of stand in the corners and hit some threes, I think they'd have been really happy with that. However, against the Rockets, he had a pretty good scoring game. He scored 11 points, only really took 5 shots, but most of his damage came at the free throw line where he was 7 of 7. The big takeaway, even if you're going to look at this and be like, well, it's not overly impressive, he wasn't going out and dominating. And, you know, I'm also going to tell you, most of the time and where most of his damage was done was when Ryan Anderson was guarding him. And we know Ryan Anderson is not the league's best defender, not going to light anyone up on fire from that side of the ball. So you're probably thinking this isn't that impressive, but I promise you that those 11 points are, especially with the free throws. What most teams are going to do with Solomon Hill is they're going to hide their worst defender on him. Ryan Anderson, clearly for the Rockets, this is the case. You're going to put him on the least offensive guy for the opponent team, just kind of hide his defense and just hope that guy doesn't really burn you. Given they're usually the worst offensive player on the opponent, they're most likely not going to. So this was great to see that Solomon Hill did make the opponent's worst defender pay, and that he did kind of burn him. Anderson, I think, had 4 fouls for the game. Solomon Hill was at the line 7 times, went 7 for 7. If you remember last Thursday, I was talking about this team needs someone who's going to be able to get to the line as consistent as Anthony Davis does. That's not named Omer Asik, where he's probably going to miss half the free throws. And this guy, you know, this mystery player we're talking about, the guy who needs to step up, really could be Solomon Hill, and it was nice to see him do that. He took advantage of a mismatch, kind of on a poor defender on him, and made him pay. you know, Solomon Hill didn't hit his three-pointers. He was 0-for-2 from range. He was 2-of-5 from the field total. Not a great shooting night. Not taking a lot of shots overall. But don't forget, he did take more shots because Anderson fouled him on a bunch. And that's why he ended up at the line so often. So it was great to see him just kind of realize and play within this offense. He wasn't trying to do too much. Knew that he could take advantage of a bad defender, and he did it. It's just smart overall play. And it's going to mean that if teams try and hide their worst defender on him in the future, the Pelicans aren't going to be at a disadvantage from it. It doesn't end up being an advantage for the other team. So this is going to be something that's going to be very good going forward. And again, 7-for-7 from the line is huge. This is what the Pelicans really needed to see. They were also playing a bit depleted. I know we lamented injuries last year. 41 different starting lineups, 320 games missed due to injuries overall for the team. So, you know, when all of a sudden the injury report came out, I think I put it on Twitter saying this escalated a bit quickly. We already knew that Drew Holiday was going to be out, that Tyreek Evans is out, that Quincy Pondexter is out. Then all of a sudden it said Robert Sacre is out with a right foot injury. Terrence Jones has a right knee contusion, and Sean Dawson, right knee patellar tendinitis, were both questionable for the game. Neither played. Alexi Ajinsa was probable with back spasms as well. All of a sudden, this Pelicans injury report climbs right up to where it was like last season, when they're already kind of playing, you know, from behind to start the year with Holiday and Pondexter and Evans, three potential starters out of the lineup. So it was a bit disappointing to see. That's why I kind of meant earlier that it's tough to take away a ton from this game, that you're not really going to get a good idea of what this team as a whole is capable of just yet, especially with Anthony Davis not playing down the stretch. You know, he's the go-to guy, and if they're not using him, it's not going to be a whole lot you're going to be able to find from that. So you've got to look at individual performances. And Solomon Hill, it was nice to see him just kind of have that smart game. Only played 24 minutes. So to see him kind of take advantage of what he knew he could take advantage of, I think this is a guy Pelicans fans are really going to like. Very smart guy, really wants to play defense. And if he can give you 11 points a game, I think you'd be very happy and take that. Other big standout performance, other than Anthony Davis, who we all know is going to do quite well for this team, kind of bounce back after a bit of a disappointing Pacers game right there, was actually Omer Asik. He was 4-of-9 from the field, 6-of-8 from the line for 14 points overall, grabbed 14 rebounds for the Pelicans, which is something they're really going to need. And I know a lot of people have been talking about him. He's healthy this year. He's looking a whole lot better. And you can kind of see it. His rebounding alone makes him worth putting on the court, especially after last season when he was virtually unplayable at the time. The big thing is he is healthy. It said he wasn't feeling fully good last year. He had hamstring injuries, back injuries. As a center that's already slow and lumbering, that's going to definitely slow you down. But before we get too excited about him, I do want to mention one thing. You know, if you go to the NBA stats website, they have some great tools up there for looking at box scores and analyzing games and seeing if what you saw on the court was true to match up with the stats. And, you know, while he had a good scoring night, mainly that comes from his free throws. And that was partially because, you know, he's getting to the line, he's getting those easy points. 6-of-8 for him is pretty good. He had an offensive rating of 85.8, which was the worst on the team. And for a guy who everyone's raving about having a good game, not exactly what you want to see. The problem is when he's shooting from the field, he is so bad. If he can get to the line and make free throws, great. But 4-of-9 isn't going to cut it if you're a big man standing under the basket. You know, that's under 50%. He's missing 5 shots at the rim, essentially, which is kind of mind-blowing, you know, overall. He had a very poor field goal percentage, so it was disappointing to kind of see that. He showed flashes of maybe bouncing back overall, but I wouldn't proclaim him just back on this team just yet, and he'll still be a liability at times. Two other players that had pretty good games actually aren't on the Pelicans. They're going to be familiar names to everyone listening, and that was Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, the former teammates here. You know, I think Anderson, I talked a bit about him last week. He's my least favorite player in the NBA right now, with kind of throwing the Pelicans under the bus, not liking his comments. He replaces, by the way, Marco Bellinelli, who for some reason I just cannot stand. I really don't have a reason for it other than maybe he just didn't play too well in New Orleans and I had high hopes for him. But man, I hated that guy. Ryan Anderson, though, has full-on reasons why, and I'm going to be excited to root against him on a division rival for this entire season. But combined, those two guys left the Pelicans. You know, they're making about $33 million combined in Houston. Not something you really wanted to pay them here in New Orleans. But even though they do leave, they are giving up a lot of production that needs to be replaced. Ryan Anderson put up per game 17 points Eric Gordon was 15.2, so you're looking at about 32 points per game, about 4.5 made threes per game, and that production does need to be replaced if you're the Pelicans to not kind of fall into an offensive hole. Combined against the Pelicans on Saturday for the Rockets, they scored 45 points. They were 9 of 17 combined from three-point range. So, you know, again, they're still showing they can shoot the ball. They can't do much else other than that, I think, at this point. But, you know, so the question is, who's going to be the guys that are going to pick up this production? And there's really one name that's going to do it and hopefully kind of make up for the lack of both of them. And that guy's going to be Etuan Moore. He started all three preseason games for the Pelicans yet. Notice Buddy Hield hasn't started at two guard, and partially that's because Moore has played pretty well. On Saturday, he was 10 of 15 from the field, 4 of 4 from deep overall, so he's making up those the points per game, kind of, and the three-point shooting that Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson had on the Pelicans combined. He had 25 points in just 29 minutes. He had an E field goal percentage, which takes into account that three-pointers are worth more than a two-pointer, so it gives you a bit of a different shooting percentage here if you're not as familiar with advanced statistics. He had an 80% E field goal percentage. Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon both had 65%. So it shows that he was playing much more efficient and more effective basketball for a fraction of the price of those two guys. I think this is a guy Pelicans fans are going to see starting on opening night. You know, right now, we always say starters don't matter. If you're not the first one out on the court, it's okay. Are you getting the majority of minutes? Are you in that finishing five? Are you closing on the court in close games? And I think that guy is going to definitely be Etuan Moore, and he's going to need to be for the time being. Buddy Hield as a rookie is going to be inconsistent, even though he's looked pretty good. He had kind of a rocky night, you know, not as good as previous preseason games he's had against the Rockets on Saturday. Langston Galloway isn't someone you want to rely on. He was 1 of 5 from the field, and this Pelicans team needs reliable shooting. Etuan Moore is going to provide it. Lance Stephenson was given a chance. He was given 33 minutes, played, I think, the entirety of the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly. He was only 3 of 9. He's not the type of guy that's going to make up for the shooting and the slack that losing two guys in Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon is going to give you. So this is the guy, you know, they're going to need him to step up. I think he's willing to. Etuan Moore is a guy who's just kind of always produced, and he's out there and he just performs. Unheralded guy, you know, he just gets out there and gets the job done. He's a decent shooter, and, you know, playing with someone like Anthony Davis, who has a ton of court gravity, who kind of has players that, you know, he needs to be double teamed. If Davis starts to pass a little bit better, and he's shown signs at times that he can, this team's going to really open up, and I think Etuan Moore is going to be the guy who's, you know, benefits the most from it. You know, he's a great shooter. He's just improved every year. In Chicago, he was quite good. He's improved from before that, and if he can really keep this shooting consistently like he is, he's not going to go 4 for 4 for every night, you know, let's be honest here, but if he goes 3 of 6 and gives you 50% shooting from deep, I think you're going to be really happy. You know, everyone loves it when threes rain down. It'll be fun to see some backcourts with him and Buddy Hield at the same time with Tim Frazier and Anthony Davis trying to set up, you know, all of those guys. It should be a lot of fun to have on the team. And I think he's the guy who's really in line for a kind of breakout season. You know how Ryan Anderson did it a number of years ago now, probably 6 or so, for the Orlando Magic. I think Etuan Moore is the guy who really is going to, you know, raise some eyebrows around the league, really raise his profile. And it's nice to have seen the Pelicans kind of believe in this guy, give him that contract, bring him in for, you know, an extended period of time, and let him do what he can. This is something this team's kind of always done. To go off on a bit of a tangent here, think about a guy, you know, some of the shooters they brought in who've then left to go on and do great things. Marco Bellinelli is kind of one of them. He was virtually out of the league at one point before the Pelicans traded for him 6 years ago now, Monty Williams' first season. Now he's got, what, a title with the Spurs. He was on the Bulls for a period of time, playing quite well for them, shooting well. You know, even started for the then Hornets for one game at point guard, maybe two games. And, you know, they kind of rehab these shooters here. They sign them for cheap. These guys improve and then go off and do bit, you know, get big money contracts, play for better teams, let's say. Think about Anthony Morrow as well. He was a guy that came in on a one-year vet minimum, played incredibly well, earned himself a big contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he's a guy the Pelicans missed, but they got him for cheap for that period of time. Unfortunately, don't have the money or the cap space to re-sign these guys. But Moore's locked in right now, and I think that's a big thing. So they've got this guy who could really be on the rise, kind of be, you know, the next guy who kind of jumps out off the page to a lot of NBA teams and fans around the league, not someone people necessarily know. So it's great to hear that. Also heard a great story. I was on the Locked On Pacers podcast before the game last Tuesday. And their host was telling me, you know, H1 Moore from Indiana. Eric Gordon was the same year as him as high school. Eric Gordon was that state's Mr. Basketball, and they played against each other in the state finals where everyone expected Gordon to come out on top. But it was Etuan Moore's team that won the state championship, sent Gordon with the loss, and you know, was the less heralded player, and now they've kind of, he's replacing him here in New Orleans. So hopefully he goes back to those high school days where he's topping that guy, because if he can put up better stats than Eric Gordon did, I think Pelicans fans are going to be really happy with him. The last thing I want to touch on today is actually a question from a Twitter follower. It's Daniel133416. That's Daniel133416. That's his Twitter handle. Sent me a question. I'm at Nola Jake, by the way. Definitely give me a follow. And he said, basically, if CP3, Chris Paul, opts out of the final year of his contract with the Clippers, he's under contract this year, and then it's a early termination option, basically a player option, for the season after. Would we welcome him back to New Orleans, or would I welcome him back to New Orleans? And this is something I actually talk about a lot. People ask me all the time, you know, Chris Paul, 7 great years in New Orleans, basically, you know, already a Hall of Famer almost off those 7 years alone, before kind of forcing the trade to get out of here. We had the rescinded trade to the Lakers, eventually followed up by the deal to the Clippers that brought back Eric Gordon, the Minnesota first round pick, which ended up being the 10th pick in the draft, which turned into Austin Rivers. The big thing about that trade, more than anything else, is it allowed the Pelicans to be really bad. Eric Gordon missed a ton of time his first season here. If he plays one more game and the Pelicans win one more game, they do not end up with the first pick overall in that draft and Anthony Davis. So in a way, it's this weird blessing in disguise that Eric Gordon was hurt for that chunk of time. But would we welcome Chris Paul back? And I've had this discussion a lot with most people, and for the most part, it's yes, absolutely. It's Chris freaking Paul. He's referred to as the point god. You bring him back, no question. If he wants to come here, you give him whatever money you want, and or whatever money he wants, and you make it happen. You know, as much as we all love Drew Holiday and his age, he's not Chris Paul. He's never going to be Chris Paul, despite being significantly younger. You bring Chris Paul back in a second, and I would be thrilled. Can you imagine Chris Paul on the pick and roll with a beast such as Anthony Davis? This is a guy who's an expert at getting his ball handlers the ball. Look how good he is with DeAndre Jordan, and how DeAndre Jordan isn't an offensive liability anymore, just because you have Chris Paul lobbing the ball up to him on the pick and roll with Blake Griffin, another athletic power forward in the mold of Anthony Davis. Davis maybe, you know, not quite the same athleticism, bit of a different skill set. My goodness, Davis can go after and get any lob and any pick and roll alley-oop. And with Chris Paul throwing him, being kind of the master of it, I can't even imagine how fantastic that offense would go, especially with Alvin Gentry kind of planning everything out, pulling the strings, setting the tone for it all. So absolutely, you would bring him back. No questions asked. The one knock on Chris Paul and why people kind of don't want him back necessarily, if there are any at all, really, is kind of his whiny-ish attitude and the play style. You know, before it was Draymond Green with the nut punches, it was Chris Paul kind of doing those little taps and playing kind of dirty. And people get really sick of it and don't kind of like that style of play. But you also, of course, don't like that style of play because he's not on the team you root for. If he's on the team, you look past it. I doubt there's any Golden State fans who really care about the, you know, the antics Draymond Green has when they're winning 73 games in a season, making the finals. Maybe it'd have been a little bit better had they won. But again, if he's on your team, this is a guy you do not care about, sort of his attitude and the way he plays the refs, kind of whines and complains at times. You deal with that if you're winning games. And if Chris Paul were to come back to New Orleans, say, you know, he seriously wants to consider it. And he does have a lot of ties here. Still has the after-school programs. He's big on philanthropy down here. And it's still wonderful to see him have ties to the city, even after he kind of forced a move away. So it's been a really wonderful thing. You've got to give the guy credit for it. He could have just cut ties, done his thing in Los Angeles, but he really does like this city. So it's nice to see him still have ties here. But you would bring him back in a second. You would have no problem with it. I'm not going to listen to anyone who tells me otherwise. If you can get Chris Paul on your team, even still, you would do it in a second. So don't tell me that the whining and, you know, again, the nut taps and all of that would bug you. You bring him back. It's that simple. I would bring him back, welcome him with open arms. You know, we can take number 3 away from Omer Asik and give it right back to Chris Paul if that's a number he wants. Zero problems with any of this. I would be thrilled. if you could somehow still keep Drew Holiday, that would be wonderful too. Holiday could definitely play the two in that kind of offense with Chris Paul and then him there. You'd have too many guards and would probably not be best for Buddy Hield. But overall, you don't complain, and you got to do whatever you can to get Davis his championship. Don't forget, the clock is ticking a little bit. He did sign the extension, but that does not guarantee a thing. He can still force a trade or decide he doesn't like it here if they're not doing enough. The good news is I think he does like it here. I think he's enjoying the locker room. So, you know, adding another superstar and Chris Paul, I think Anthony Davis would be thrilled as well. So that's where we're going to wrap it up today for Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, writer for bourbonstreetshots.com, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget, if you're a big New Orleans sports fan, to give a listen to Locked On Saints. I've been listening to it. The bye week is over. They've got games coming up, so definitely give it a listen. If you need some more national perspective on the NBA, and there's a lot to talk about right now, the big thing being that we might avoid a work stoppage and that CBA might get negotiated between the players union and the owners, definitely listen to Locked On NBA, hosted by David Locke, the head of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're enjoying the podcast, hopefully the sound sounds a little bit better today. I'm going to try and get some music in the front. We'll make this sound really great and fun for you all. Definitely subscribe, like it, share it on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever you use social media. It's great to get more listeners. We want to make this as great as possible. So even if you've just got a friend who's a big Pelicans fan, has some time in the morning, the afternoon, you know, the evening while they're cooking dinner to listen to podcasts, you know, I'm going to try and keep these right around this time of 20 minutes or so. Share it with them. Let's get some more listens on here, some more views, whatever you want to call them. Don't forget to tweet at me questions you want. I'll definitely answer them on the podcast. It's at NolaJake. You can also email me. It's jake@bourbonstreetshots.com, ST instead of street, like the website. Thanks for listening in. Hopefully, like I said, the audio was good. Thanks for bearing with me last week. We're going to keep improving. I'm having a lot of fun doing this, and I'll be with you guys tomorrow.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.